proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program. We continue looking at the story of modern Israel and further Israeli-Arab wars. The nations of Syria and Egypt continue to attack Israel's territory, even after having previously been defeated by Israeli forces. The two nations made a surprise attack against Israel on October 6, 1973. That day was Yom Kippur, known as the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur was the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, a time when Jews were likely to be in their synagogues. Other Muslim states, such as Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Libya, contributed planes, tanks, and even troops to the attackers from Syria and Egypt. On the initial day of battle, Syrian airstrikes wiped out the entire Israeli Air Force. Things initially looked bleak for the Jewish state. After 2 days on the defensive, though, Israel turned the tide of battle on both the Syrian and Egyptian fronts. American President Richard Nixon heeded Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir's desperate plea for weaponry. He rushed promised American armaments into the battle zone, an action that may well have saved the Jewish nation-state from defeat at the hand of its enemies. United Nations Security Council Resolution 338, which was dated on October 22, 1973, Security Council Resolution 338 called for an immediate ceasefire between Egyptian forces and Israeli forces. The Jewish nation accepted this truce, sparing Egypt from suffering further military catastrophes. Arab groups also waged war against Israel through sponsoring mob uprisings, known as intifadas, a word which literally means shaking off. On several previous occasions, Arab populations throughout the Middle East had conducted intifadas against European colonial powers, such as the 1965 uprising against the British in the country of Bahrain. The first intifada against Israel began in 1987. It lasted for several years. A second uprising, known as the Al-Aqsa Intifada, occurred in 2000. It was connected with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's visit to the Temple Mount at Jerusalem, labeling that action as an affront against the Al-Aqsa Mosque. In both cases, Israel's enemies attained public relations victories, this in connection with so-called world opinion. Most nations portrayed the Israeli government's responses to attacks on them, condemning these responses as brutal in nature. A new organization enters the picture, the Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO. PLO forces in Lebanon had established a de facto base in southern Lebanon. From that vanguard, they infiltrated Israel. The Israeli government launched Operation Litani in March 1978. The purpose of this operation was to push PLO troops back from the Israeli-Lebanon border. Israeli forces occupied Lebanese territory south of the Litani River, pushing PLO forces northward. The United Nations Security Council Resolutions 425 and Resolution 426, these called for Israeli withdrawal from occupied territories. As part of the peace agreement, the United Nations created what was known as the UN Forces in Lebanon, or the acronym UNIFIL. This was to enforce their decision. Israeli groups withdrew from Lebanon later in 1978, turning their military positions over to the Lebanese allies. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another Radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.